Yeah, tonight as we're worshiping, I saw a picture, and I want us to stay here. And I saw a picture of us like we were walking around Jericho. If you know the story of Jericho, they did 7 laps, I believe, around these fortified walls that they were commanded to break through and conquer into a land. And it was going around and around and around until their assignment in that moment was complete. Their assignment was obedience to God, to what he commanded. And then on the other side of that shout that they released, there's walls that just come tumbling down, and they broke into a land. What was supposed to be a really hard place became really easy in that moment on the other side of it. And I saw us in worship, and it's like, it might feel like we're just going to the same thing and the same thing, but we're actually doing laps around Jericho tonight. And we're actually going around and around and around and around. And I just really believe that God wants to break through tonight. But there's something special about a group of people who come into a time like this, and our thought primarily isn't necessarily what God intends to do, but our primary thought is, what can I give God in this moment? What can I offer? Even Jesus said it's better to give than to receive. And so here's what I want to do. Jamie whispered to me and said, you can do whatever you want. So this is what I want to do. I want to worship. I just want to worship. And I just want to worship. I just want to praise him. And I just want all of us, if you're in the place where you can, to just stand. And we're going to stay exactly where we're at, right here. But we're going to press in a little deeper, a little louder. If you need a model, an example for worship, Hattie's been up here screaming her face off. It's been amazing. Can we just do that? Can we just worship? Can it be that simple? And I honestly believe that we're just going to keep lapping Jericho. And as we just give ourselves to the obedience that is like his beauty demands, it's like our hearts, the obedience of our heart is to respond in worship. Because in heaven, it's never ceasing. It's day and night, night and day, unceasing. And they're not strong-armed into it. They're simply provoked. So just begin to worship. Begin to lift your voice. I think some of you need to release a dance unto the Lord. You need to release a dance unto the Lord tonight. And you need to release your expression of worship. Come on, just release worship. Just pour yourself out. Pour yourself out. We worship you, Jesus. Come on, it doesn't have to be pretty. It doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be worship. It has to be praise. Let God bring the walls down. You lap around the promise. Come on, let the incense of his name rise from your heart. Let the incense of his name rise from your lips tonight. Oh, Jesus. It's all in the name. It's all in the name. Come on, stay engaged. Just keep worshiping. Just keep worshiping. That's our only job right now, is to worship. It's just to worship. Whatever's in your heart, just lift it up. Yes. Oh, gee. So here's what I want to do. I want us, if you're facing something that truly feels or is an impossible situation, just something that is absolutely impossible, that like there's no natural way that this could work out for good and that God has to intervene, whether it's sickness, disease, financial stuff, if you are facing something that's impossible, if you're willing to do that, what I want us to do, just lift your hand and I want us to begin to pray together and agree together that the God who does the impossible is here right now, ready to move. So if that's you, just raise your hand. Nice and high, it's all right. No need to be embarrassed, no need to be weird, it's family. That's what this is all about. We lap around Jericho, we lap around our promised land in worship, and then we see God release justice. So make sure anybody that has their hand up, has something, there's some up here. If you don't feel like you should be a part, like you're qualified to be a part of praying for somebody, that's a lie. Somebody lied to you. You are. The Holy Spirit lives in you. It's His power being manifested through your mouth, through your laying on of hands. So we're just going to begin to declare right now. Actually, what we're going to do, we're going to worship a little longer. We're just going to worship and we're going to declare the nature of God over them. So just begin to continue to worship. If you get something in the spirit, just begin to release it over them. My encouragement to you tonight is that you pray for them like you would want someone to pray for your impossible situation. Father, I thank you that with you, everything is possible. Jesus, you make a way where there is no way. Father, I thank you that every disease has to bow before you. I thank you that every single illness, every single infirmity has to bow before the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that there is no competition between light and darkness, but that light flees a room, or that darkness flees a room when a light is turned on. Father, turn the lights on right now over these impossible situations. Would you turn the lights on? There's not even a contest. There's not a wrestle. There's not a difficulty. But we release provision from heaven right now. Financial provision right now in Jesus' name. Father, we declare that relationships that seem to be forever broken would be healed and restored. That families would be healed and restored. Father, that you would bring entire houses, entire generational lines into the goodness and the blessing of Jesus. I declare saved family members in Jesus' name. I declare saved family members in Jesus' name. Prodigals coming home now in Jesus' name. Watch him do it. Watch him do it. Watch him do it. Watch him do it. Father, we thank you that cancer bows to the very name of Jesus. Diabetes bows to the very name of Jesus. Depression, anxiety bows in the name of Jesus. Every demonic stronghold breaks at the name of Jesus. Every demonic stronghold breaks at the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, come and move right now. Holy Spirit, we ask you for more right now. Just ask him for more. Holy Spirit, more. Right now, more, 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 more. More, Holy Spirit. Lord, I refuse to put a finish line that you aren't writing right now. I refuse to put a false finish line on what you can do in a moment. Holy Spirit, we welcome more. More, right now, right now, right now, right now, from the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet, more. Breakthrough in perspective in Jesus' name. It's time to think higher. It's time to live higher. More, 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 more. Lord, we release the fullness. The fullness, God. You do not withhold your blessing, your love. We release the fullness. Shorababama. Yeah, just a little bit longer. Just release the fullness, the full weight, the full measure, the full healing. More, Holy Spirit, just increase your presence right now. Right now, all over this room, just increase your presence. Just increase your manifested glory right now. Lord, we know it's your pleasure, it's your desire to release more. So we just say yes, not in striving, but in agreement. Just agree. Just agree with heaven right now for more. Just agree. You don't strive for it. You just say, yeah, God, that sounds good to me too. That sounds good to me too, Jesus. Pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit for the worth and fame of Jesus alone. Pour out your spirit right now. Pour out your spirit into impossible situations. Receive glory, Jesus. Receive glory. God, we are lovers of your presence. Oh, just ask him for more. Lord, we ask for a deposit of glory to rest upon our lives. Woo. Yes, we ask for the more of the Lord. For the more of the Lord. For the more. There has to be more. Yeah. There's one more thing I think that I want to go after, and I just see a glory. A glory that's going to start resting on some people tonight. And I feel like there's an assignment. There's even an angelic assignment. I see angels like dusting, like with brooms, just like cleaning a home. And the Lord is saying that they're cleaning the reproach of the last season that you've been in. That they're cleaning the reproach of a former season. For some of you, it's 20 years ago, 2 years ago. But that there's reproaches that are still remaining. And I feel like it's the desire of the Holy Spirit to wash your feet tonight. So Holy Spirit, right now we ask for an anointing to come to wash away the reproach of hard seasons. God, where something landed and stuck to us. God, if that's you, just open up your heart to the Holy Spirit. That's all it is. We don't have to make a show about it, but just let him move right now. Father, we just say yes, angelic assignments to release and clean the reproach of the former seasons. Father, it weighs where our brains were literally rewired by the trauma of former seasons. Holy Spirit, right now I ask that you would move. Yeah, there's someone here, I literally see a rewiring in your brain. And the Holy Spirit, you've been like, wondering, why is it so hard for me to think like Christ? And the Lord is bringing resolution to that right now. He says, my thoughts will be your thoughts. Wow. And there's a new grace to hold on to hope that's getting released in this room right now. There's a new grace to find hope and not lose it quickly, but to actually find hope and hold on to it, because hope, I was just reading in Romans that when you hold on to hope, it releases joy, and joy bleeds out of you. So I declare a release of a grace to hold on to hope. Wow. Yeah. Thank you, Father, that the tidewaters of your glory are only ever increasing over your children. Father, we love you. We ask that you would seal everything you've done in this time. Would you mark us as worshipers? And we thank you that you are continually knocking Jericho's down. We give you honor and we give you highest praise. One more time, just lift your voice. Just give him worship. Just give him worship. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Highest praise only belongs to you, Jesus. For you are the Lamb that was slain for us. And by your blood, you have redeemed us to God. You have redeemed men to God. We give you highest praise. Beautiful Lamb, worthy Jesus. Come on, one more time. Let's declare this. Come on. We'll find somebody, give them a hug, high five them, love on them. Amen.
Come on, come on. Okay, as soon as you take a seat, I'm going to ask you to stand again. Stand with me very quickly. As we speak right now, a catastrophic Category 5 hurricane is hitting the Bahamas. And it is, I was just told that it was the, it could potentially be the most powerful hurricane in American history. And it's making landfall right now. And I really believe that no matter where we are, we can pray storms away. And I really believe that we can make an impact. So can you grab a hand of the person next to you? We have a responsibility to pray. And so let's just go ahead right now. Heavenly Father, we declare the Lordship of Jesus Christ over this hurricane right now. Father, we command this storm to fall into the sea this very moment in Jesus' name. We take authority over the assignment of death that it carries, the assignment of destruction that it carries. And right now we pray, God, for angels to be assigned right now to preserve life over the Bahamas and over the East Coast right now. Father, we ask you for a wall of protection, Lord, that it truly would be as if it fell into the sea, that it hit a wall and it died the very moment it hit land. Father, we ask you right now, Lord, for your hand of protection to rest over the Bahamas. God, we ask you for your hand of protection over the Caribbean islands. We pray, God, for the God for all those that are living and dwelling, we ask you for angels to be assigned to preserve life in homes. Father, we ask you, Lord, that you would stand like a wall of fire along the eastern coast of America right now, and that you would build a wall to push back against this hurricane in Jesus' name. Father, we declare peace, peace, peace over the storm. We declare peace over the eye of the storm. We command the winds to die down and for it to succumb to the Prince of Peace right now. Lord, we declare this thing in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. Will we take a seat? Well, we are gearing up for a crazy week. If you haven't heard about it, we have our Tenacious Love Conference this week. So excited. We have Maddie Montgomery coming in and Josh Baldwin coming in from Bethel Music. We have Bethany Worley and Sean Foyt coming in from Bethel Music. We have Andy Bird from YWAM that's going to be here, Stacey Campbell. And we have friends from all over the country, worship leaders and leaders from all over the country that are arriving as soon as Tuesday. They're coming in. More Bethel worship leaders, some leaders from Bethel are going to be here. We just have amazing, amazing, amazing crew of people that are going to be carrying the whole weekend. And it's actually the biggest conference we've ever hosted in that sense. And I really believe it's going to be historic. I actually, the Lord started speaking to me when we were in Copenhagen about something that was going to be birthed this weekend. That I'm not sharing because I just really believe that I want it to be a God-ordained thing. And so I really believe something's going to be specifically catalyzed over this weekend. And the great news is that I believe there's like less than 20 tickets left. So if you still want to get yours, you can get yours tonight. If you can only do a one-day deal, that's fine. Get a one-day ticket. I really believe we're going to have to close off the night sessions. All but 1 year of our years of doing this conference, we've kept the night sessions open for people that can come in. They can come in last and get whatever seats are available. But I believe this year is just going to be so packed that we're not able to do that. So I think that's where we're going with it. But Sunday morning, we're going to have is Kirsten leading that morning or no, that night with Sean? Okay, so that morning we'll have KLC Worship. Andy Bird will be speaking Sunday morning at KLC, and Andy Bird will be speaking Sunday night, and Sean Foyt and Kirsten Steele from Bethel are going to be leading worship Sunday night. So it's going to be an awesome night, and that night is wide open. It's totally free. So Sunday night, you guys can come be a part of, if you can't be at the rest of the conference. Sunday night is an open service. So you're welcome. That's pretty cool. Way better than a Patriots game, but how many get saved for kickoff Sunday? Yeah. Next Sunday, come on. I got two more fantasy. I got all this conference preparation, and I got two more fantasy drafts to do this week. So, oh, man. Building's looking nice, isn't it? pretty impressive. All right. I should probably get my Bible. So I'm going to be really quick with you guys tonight, just because I just want to share something very quickly with us, and I want to get us out of here. And our whole team has a very long week. Thanks, guys, for who led worship. You guys got a long week ahead, too. Jonathan, you got a long week, buddy. Beth, you got a long week, girl, wherever you are. Hi. You got a long week ahead. So our whole team that's here, we got a long week, so I want to get us out of here as soon as we can. You know, one of my favorite things to do, like as a teacher and as a preacher, is to figure out biblical paradoxes. Do you know what I mean by that? It's the concepts that seem completely completely opposite of each other, but are both biblically true. They're both 100% truth, but you don't know how they work together. I love those because I feel like those are the kind of subject matters that split churches and like create subdivisions of culture. And it's just like, I don't know how to marry these two things, so I'm going to fit into one and become an enemy of anybody that fits into the other, right? I actually love the tension of paradox because I think that that tension produces power. And I think if we can live in the tension of theology, I think that it produces power. And not only does it produce power, but it actually purifies. And it really threshes our hearts. And I actually think that if we're going to have true biblical community and covenant, we actually have to know how to like live in the tension of biblical paradoxes. Because how are we going to allow people that how are we going to do life in community with people that see things just so radically different without it becoming divisive? Does that make sense? And so now there's some things that I really don't want to coexist with. There are things that I just believe are 100% false. But I also believe there are these paradoxes. And so I want to get into one that is probably quite simple and quick, but I think it's important for us to understand. And because, I think that along with, we preach grace here. We love the grace message. I really believe that grace is the doorway to righteousness and true repentance. I think that grace is Jesus released grace through the cross of Jesus Christ. And if we're not preaching grace, we're not preaching the gospel, right? And so I really believe it. But I also believe that in the preaching of grace, there's opportunity for us to take that in directions that are not sanctified directions of grace. And I think that there's actually a subculture to the grace message that is nearly lethal to the body of Christ if we're not paying attention and living in the tension. And I want to talk tonight about striving, contending, and rest. And on one hand, how many of us know the gospel is an invitation for us to come to Jesus to receive his gracious and priceless free gift of salvation. For by grace, Ephesians 2 verse 8, for by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that one may boast. How do you guys know the gospel is an invitation for us to come to Jesus to be relieved of our soul's burdens and receive his incomparable rest? Matthew 11:28, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But on the other hand, there's a call to contend. In Matthew 16:24, it says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. In Philippians 2:12, it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. There's also, that passage that says, the kingdom of heaven suffers violent and the violent take it by force. Or how about one of my favorites in Luke 12:49, it says, I came to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already kindled. He goes, you think I've come to bring peace? No, I didn't come to bring peace. I came with a sword to divide. Right? He says, let the dead bury the dead, and you come follow me. He says, sell everything that you have and come and follow me. It is easier for for a camel to thread the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into heaven. You know, there's some hard statements here, but then for God so loved the world that he gave his one only son, that whoever believed in him would not perish but have eternal life. There are these biblical paradoxes. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I want to talk about living in the tension of these two calls. Because how many of us know that it's not that some are called to violence and some are called to rest. Right? Some are called to contend and some are called to lay down. Oh, that's the lay down church. Let's go to the violent church over there. I ascribe to the denomination of let's lay down, right? I mean, so that's not God's plan for us. There's a tension. But what's interesting, actually, in Hebrews 4:11, what's so interesting is that he actually marries the two paradoxes in one passage. He says, let us therefore strive to enter God's rest so that no one may fall or fail by the same sort of disobedience as Moses' generation. He actually relates a failure of a generation for not striving or contending or laboring to enter rest. And I think that this is where the two things collide, right? Where in the same sentence you have rest and contending. But in it is saying if you don't strive, if you don't contend, if you don't labor for this thing, and you to enter into my rest, to lean into me, to find rest for your souls, to abide in me, to press into me, to receive my yoke and my burden, says you're actually as a generation going to completely miss the call of God in your generation. Right? How many of you guys know that there's an incredible opportunity for a generation that is so coming into understanding with grace to accidentally fall into apathy? Right? There's an opportunity, because if we misunderstand, most of the young people in the room would say striving is a bad word. Right? You know, I can't find a bad connotation for the word striving in Scripture. I can't find one. The word striving is actually encouraged all through Scripture to strive after something. But there is an opportunity for us to misunderstand, and I do believe that we are not called to strive, right? If we want to get into semantics, we're not called to strive. But we are called to contend. We all called to action. We all are called to work and to labor and to press. And I want to talk about the difference of these things, because I've been asked this question many, many, many times. If we're not self-aware and in tune with our own posture, we can blur the lines of striving and contending. Because what's the difference? Because the behaviors can look exactly the same. One person can pray, study, fast, and serve and be striving. And another can pray, fast, serve, study, and be resting. One person can pray, fast, and study, and be resting or contending, and the other person can pray, fast, and study, and be striving. So what's the difference? The difference is that striving is motivated by my lack, while contending is motivated by opportunity. Striving attempts to earn something. Contending is operating from a pre-existing favorable disposition. Let's say that again so we get it. Striving attempts to earn something, but contending operates from a pre-existing favorable disposition. Striving attempts to move God, but contending attempts to move me. You see, striving is coming from a place that I have to earn or obtain something that doesn't already belong to me. And this is where the trap comes, is that if I have it, then why ask for it? Why move in it? Why press for it? Why contend for it? Because although it's been given, it doesn't mean that you are in the position to begin to operate in it. So it's actually the understanding that it's been given that will actually cause us to contend, because we are moving our own flesh and our own mind and our own unbelief and our own insecurity and our own pain and our own worry and our own unbelief is the very thing we're contending against. Striving is when we think that we're striving against God to earn something. Contending is when I'm moving myself out of the way to obtain what's already been given to me. Do you understand? The wrestling is not with God. The wrestling is with me. And this is why, you know, we can look. This is why one person can look and say, God, I have a calling on my life, and I feel called to lead and to preach and teach. I feel called to lay hands on the sick. I feel called to these things, and so, but I'm not there yet. I don't have the anointing, so I gotta fast and pray, and I gotta get the anointing. I gotta fast and pray. How many of us know that's probably striving, right? But there's another person that says, I'm called to preach and teach. I know it's all there, but I'm in my own way. So I'm going to begin to fast and begin to pray so the Lord would begin to do a work inside of me that makes way for what he's given to make its way out of me. And this is where now I'm contending, right? I'm actually co-laboring with Christ in the very mission and calling on my life to see it come out, to see it begin to operate. And the thing is, if we do not understand the difference, we can easily become apathetic in the name of avoiding striving. Because striving is not connected to a behavior. Striving is connected to a posture of the heart. How many movements have seen striving in prayer so they begin to avoid prayer? Or we've seen striving in fasting, and so we avoid fasting, right? We've seen people that have been, you know, we've heard these messages going like, if you're not spending 10 minutes a day in prayer and reading a chapter in the Bible every day, you aren't, you know, X, Y, and Z. You're not going to be close to Jesus. You're going to fall in sin. You're going to do all stuff. And we go, guys, that's striving. Jesus is the only way to be free. And so we go, and you know what? And what I just said is the truth. But we don't avoid the behavior. We avoid the heart that says that because I don't want to fall into sin, I'm going to behave this way. That's striving, because it's eliminating the cross of Jesus Christ from the equation, and it's all putting it from my lack demands a certain behavior. I've just entered into striving. But there's a revelation saying Jesus made a way. I want to co-labor with Jesus. I'm in a favorable position before God, and I want to go deeper with him. I get to press in, and now I'm contending with him to go deeper with that behavior. See, the danger is we are actually a younger generation on the earth that is seeing a revelation that one generation is missing and another generation is highlighting it, but they can mistake the behavior for the revelation. And what we do inevitably is we completely we start avoiding fundamental biblical behaviors because we don't want to enter into striving. Is this making sense? Guys, it's not cool to be apathetic. It's not, there's literally at no point, I've heard so many people that have been in a world of like going to church, like really like religiously going to church, right? And they actually feel like not going to church is liberating. There's grace, right? And we like feel liberated because one generation actually attended church out of striving. And so we feel liberated. We're like, I don't have to go to church. But there's literally no point in scripture that actually encourages liberating individuals from godly fellowship. And so the failure of one generation to behave a certain way in striving caused the next generation to avoid the behavior in fear of striving. But all we're doing is we're setting ourselves up for death, because the enemy uses divide and conquer as a tactic to kill our destiny. It actually says, there's actually a commandment from Paul, is to do not forsake the gathering of yourselves together as is the manner of some, but gather all the more as the day approaches. That's not striving. That is co-laboring with Jesus. You see, this is what we have to begin to have ears to hear, is that there is a desire to avoid the failures of one generation. But the battleground is the heart and not the behavior. And we have to have eyes to see, because I don't think Jesus is coming back for a group of people that are like in Lazy Boys, relaxing and waiting. I think he's coming back for a wild lover who's fasting and praying and contending like Anna in the prayer room, who's faithful to the Lord. And when everyone is saying like, hey, listen, you're clean. Jesus made you clean. We can just go to the movie. You're gonna be fine. Like, it's just a movie. Chill out. And we're like, actually something like hurts me to be in that environment and to watch that, because I love Jesus and we're laughing at the things that he died for. And like, it's not cool. Jesus isn't coming back for the people that don't care about a standard of righteousness. He's coming back for a generation who's white and clean and wearing the robes of righteousness, right? But listen, there's a heart posture. We're not doing it out of like to avoid striving. We're doing it because we're wild about Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's a heart posture thing, because I really actually have been around some holiness movements that definitely were striving. It was out of the fear of, if I get around this, I'm going to become darkened by it. That, my friends, is striving. But it's avoidance. It's striving. It's because it's rooted from the belief that I lack the power to overcome any dark presence I get around, or anything that it impacts me more than I impact it. That is striving. It's avoiding sin because fear of sin controls me, not me get to overcome sin, right? But there is a call to contend and co-labor with Jesus. The joy of joining him on his cross, to co-labor with Christ for righteousness and holiness, where it's like, I know that I can, but I don't want to, right? What did Paul say? He says, all things are lawful for me. But what did he say? But not all things are beneficial for me. He says, all things are permissible, but I will not be controlled by anything. Right? This is the thing. The whole world is open, but I don't want it. Is this making sense? I want to be a community of people that knows how to contend from a place of rest, but able to avoid striving from a broken belief system that actually says that in order to get closer to God, these things are needed. You don't need to do these things to get closer, but you get to dig deeper with him. Does that make sense? Guys, that's literally all I have for you tonight. Is that okay? I really actually just want to pray that striving would be broken off of our lives, and like a two-edged sword would come in and actually start dividing those places where we've been striving. And not only that, but we'd allow the Lord to awaken our hearts where maybe we've tried to avoid striving and actually laid down places of our heart and our life that's been called to contend with God, to co-labor, to be wild for him. And I think tonight even the Lord wants to say, hey, I want to call you back to this thing. I want to awaken your heart back to this thing that we're going after. I want to set that fire back, you know, inside of your heart, that, you know, that you would be a wild man, a wild woman again. And so I think the Lord's going to do this two things. Why don't you stand with me? Why don't everyone just hold your hands up for the Lord tonight? when it comes to these kind of paradoxes, where it's like there's two very opposite things. And we need God to come and to show us in our own heart to become in tune with the posture of our own heart in these matters. We really do need the word of God to come like a two-edged sword. And just to slice it just right. Show that fine line between this and that. And so right now I'm asking you, Lord, not just your written word, I'm asking you right now for the rhema word, the living word. I'm asking for that breath of God, the voice of the Lord to come now, right now like a two-edged sword and just divide right now. Divide right now. Soul and spirit, divide it right now. Father, that you would show us, God, where we have the difference in our life of contending and striving. Every place in our life, God, that we have, God, allowed striving, God, where it's rooted in a place of lack. We're trying to earn your favor. We're trying to earn your acceptance. We're trying to earn your love right now. I ask you for the two-edged sword to come and divide it right now. God, that you would show us every place where we have believed a lie that's allowed us to operate from lack. Come right now, reveal striving in our life right now, Jesus. But God, I ask you in the very same moment, you'd reveal every place, God, that we have tried to avoid striving, that we have laid it down, that we have become apathetic. We've allowed mediocrity just to come down and to simmer those fires that you started inside of us. And I ask you right now, set a fire inside of us right now. God, where we once were trying to strive, but now you're saying, I'm calling you to out of striving and into contending. I'm calling you out of striving and into contending. Set a fire inside of me, God. Set a fire inside of me that wants to co-labor with Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus. Jesus. had this sense while we were just worshiping. I just had this sense that there are some people in the room where striving actually looked like trying to earn favor with man, as if that represented favor with God. And if you had favor with man, then you would be in a favorable position with God. And so you strived. You worked for man. You worked for man's approval. You worked for man's attention. But I felt like even in the awareness of that, there was a moment that we felt liberated. We're saying, I'm not going to work for man anymore. I'm not going to work for man's approval. And it felt like liberation. But I feel like that place of liberty like became a prison, where it's like, I don't know how to come out of working for man and working for the Lord. Like, I don't know how to now do the very same thing that I once did for man's approval. I don't know how to now do the very same thing to co-labor with Jesus, just to minister to him, to offer it to him as a free gift. I don't know how to do it. And I just feel like right now, I know that's a really specific and unique thing, but I feel it in the room. I sense it from the Lord. So if you feel like you can connect with that, I feel like the Lord's saying there's grace tonight. Right now, there is grace for him to heal that place and to bring liberty to that, what feels like now is a trap. It feels now like an apathetic hole that you've fallen into. And so right now, if that's you, I just want you to lay a hold of grace right now and to ask the Lord to come and to liberate you from that hole of apathy. Right now, I ask you, Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would deliver people right now from that season, what feels like they fell into a pit or into a hole of apathy. That feels like they left striving, but they didn't go anywhere. They just walked into an abyss of nothing. Right now, Father, I just ask you, Lord, that you would liberate people from that tonight, and that you would heal and restore the influence of past seasons, and that you'd come right now and set the fire again, set the eyes straight, set the heart in the right way. I ask for revelation tonight, God, that all of a sudden their hearts and their minds would just be aligned with your purpose and your way for them, that you would heal and restore right now in Jesus' name, that you would release grace to return to the very thing that they've been called to do with a clean heart, with a clean altar, in Jesus' name. I'm asking you to do it, God. Set hearts on fire again to serve from a place of rest and devotion and love and freedom and liberty and opportunity to contend and co-labor with Jesus for your end time purpose and plan. Let joy come back to serving. If you need that right now, joy to come back in serving with the Lord right now. Maybe you've lost focus of why you serve. If you need joy in serving, I want you to get it right now. Ask the Lord right now, God, restore the joy of serving. Restore the joy of giving my life up. Restore the joy of laying my life down for you. Restore the joy of going deeper and further in intercession and prayer and fasting and study with you, God. Come on, just right now. I know there's people that you need this right now. Just ask him, God, restore the joy of serving the Lord again. In any place where I've lost my focus, I've entered into striving and it's not rest anymore. God, restore the joy of serving the Lord. Restore the joy of laying my life down. Restore the joy of carrying my cross with Jesus. Restore the joy of giving it all up for you, God. God, get my eyes right. Get my heart right and restore joy tonight. Bring me back. Let the ambitions of my heart be innocent and fully aligned with truth right now. Thank you, Lord. Truly, you might not feel it, but just trust me. I really do know when the Lord gives me a word of knowledge, and that restoring joy of serving right is in the room right now. That is available if you need that. I know I'm not a thus saith the Lord prophet, but listen, it's in the room. Lay hold of it. I'm going to hang on this for 1 minute for people to have just the opportunity to just ask him again. God, right now, just restore the joy serving the Lord. In any place where I was serving just man, let my heart come back to serving the Lord. Let the joy of serving, the joy of laying my life down, the joy of sacrifice, let it return tonight. Release grace, God. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to overstay on something, but I really feel it. I really feel it. Somebody's season ends tonight. Somebody's season ends tonight. If you need that season where you feel like you've been stuck to end tonight, it ends tonight if you would just lay hold of it. I declare that over you, the season ends tonight. Grace is released. That season of being stuck in the apathetic hole ends tonight. In Jesus' name. I take authority over seasons of being stuck right now. I take authority over seasons of delay for your life, and I say it ends right now in Jesus' name. I release grace, God. Right now, we release grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. Lord, we bless you. God, we give you all the glory and the honor. God, we just say tonight, Lord, that this generation, often told, this millennial entitled generation that's too cool for school, God, we thank you that this generation, X, Y, Z, whatever you call it, God, will be the most on fire, wild co-laborers with Jesus the world has ever seen. Declare that they were born for revival, and they will do it from the place of rest and joy. They will fast, they will pray, they'll fill stadiums, they will lay their lives down on the mission field, they will serve the ones in need, they'll give it all up to serve from a place of love and joy and the excitement of serving with God. I just declare it over this generation. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Bless you guys. Big week. Hope you can all join us for Tenacious Love. It's going to be wild. This place is going to look different. There'll be wall-to-wall chairs. We'll have them all over the place, and the balconies will be filled, and the parking will be nuts, and super fun, exciting time. So I hope you can all join us, and bless you guys.